to reach out to you. Today's the day. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that I believe is appropriate. I believe it is incumbent upon us to understand the election that's coming up November the 5th, just a few days before us now. It's perhaps the most crucial, the most important election that America has seen. Now, I make that as a dogmatic statement. I'm still less than 100 years old, but I don't know of an election in my lifetime that's been any more important and more imperative that Christians understand and recognize how we ought to vote as Christians. So we're talking about today why every Christian must vote. We cannot simply slough it off. In fact, Dr. Davis, I've used the term, if it's rain, sleet, or snow, it doesn't make any difference. If we have to walk, crawl, or skate to get to the voting booth, we must vote November the 5th. Now, amen. I understand we have early voting. I personally am against early voting. In fact, I'd like to see us get to the point where we have a federal holiday on Election Day. Every business is closed. Everybody is off from work. And all we have to focus on that day is to go to the polls and vote.
That's right.
I'm a little bit weary with the early voting and the late counting of the votes, which opens the door for fraud and errors, et cetera, et cetera. Just read an article this morning where there's an admission now in the state of Pennsylvania that for 20 years they've allowed illegals to vote, and it's just now coming out. And yet, supposedly, when Trump said and other Trump followers said that the 2020 election was stolen and that voters voted that were illegal in the state of Pennsylvania and other states, and it was laughed at, mocked at, and called disinformation, misinformation, and Russian disinformation. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize the critical nature of this election cycle. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Hill, can you hear me now?
Sounds good. Go ahead.
Okay, I don't understand Democrats. I really don't. Because if they listen to Pamela Harris, number one, she's a liar. She might have been a prosecutor. She don't know how to run this country. And she's going to be a puppet. As a matter of fact, they're going to train her to be a puppet. And Democrats don't understand. As long as that border stay open, George Soros, Bill Gates and the other, cabal, once they cut that money off, because I know it's not the whole United States, once they cut that money off, and they're going to take from us because I'm going on 70, once they cut that money off from us to try to please them, they are going to, I think it's in Matthew 24, say, do not be deceived. Because kingdom will come against kingdom, and kingdom will come against kingdom, and that's ethnic, right?
Mm-hmm. nation against nation, and that's the word ethnos. It's ethnicity against ethnicity. Talking about Matthew chapter 24, beginning with about verse 5, 6, and 7 is the area that you're speaking in now. And that's what we see on a national level. And, Kenneth, one of the things that our listeners and everyone need to understand, Kamala Harris and I are supposed to be, and Joe Biden was taking the stand that we're going to get the black vote, we're going to do this for you, this for you. Go back and look at Kamala Harris's record in the state of California. She prosecuted more black people than in any other state in the United States of America.
Thank you.
Put them in jail with some of the longest fines, some of the longest terms of any other prosecutor on the face of the globe, and now she supposedly has changed. She's a chameleon. It's lying to whatever crap she's before, she's going to tell the lie to appease that crowd, and it is simply atrocious to think that somehow, some way, she might become the president. I'm speaking, Kenneth, from the standpoint of a Christian, how we should view things, not based on gender, not based on ethnicity, not based on whether it's Democrat or Republican, but base it on biblical facts as to what God would have us to do as Christians. Now, Kenneth, I know there'll be some that's listening say, well, you know, Donald Trump has told a lie. Donald Trump has had an immoral past in his background. So my question is, for everyone that's listening, do you have any sin in your life? Have you ever sinned, committed one sin? If so, then you're disqualified for running for president also.
Yeah, like the Lord told, like the Lord, when they brought the woman that committed adultery, not the man, but the woman, and he said, you without sin, you cast the first stone.
Absolutely. And yet we have those today that are trying to say that Trump is evil because their sin in his background. Well, they're not examining Kamala Harris, or they've never examined Joe Biden under the same scrutiny that they have for President Donald J. Trump. So I believe that we need to, as Christians, need to stop being brainwashed and indoctrinated and be educated and understand the facts before we go to the polls and vote. This is the reason I believe this election is going to hinge on Christians, conservatives going to the polls and voting. If we stay home, if we as conservatives and Christians do not vote, we've lost America, not only for this election,
but in perpetuity.
We've lost America. And so, Kenneth, keep praying. Tell every friend, neighbor, and relative, even enemies, put them on your speed dial and explain to them why we need to vote as Christians and conservatives. Thank you so much for your call today. God bless you, and keep looking up. I believe we have Derby on the line. Derby, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, 3 points. The first one is technical, not political. The first half of the program, there was a lot of static. But when the break came up at 12 o'clock, it was very clear. And now you sound better than before in the first half. So it's
well, I'm glad I don't look any better, but maybe I sound better. That's good.
Okay. Then you talk about Christians having to vote and all that. Well, the problem is that maybe one half of the so-called Christians in this country are not really Christians. How can you be a Christian and support the Democrat platform? I refuse to allow themselves to call themselves Christian. To me, they are enemies, they are communists, they are good for nothing. And then you talk about the enemies of this country, you know, China, Russia, Iran, etc., which is true, but there are other enemies, even bigger, more dangerous, and those are the Congress, the media, and the deep state. They are the enemies within. And unless we attack them first, we cannot attack the enemy from the outside. That's my point.
One of the things, Derby, that I'll jump on as you've touched on that, we have allowed the enemy to come within our borders. And Christopher Wray just recently, and he said now five or six times in the past 90 days, Christopher Wray has publicly stated that we are witnessing the potentiality of a grave, major, serious attack from within, just as 9/11. How could that be possible, Derby? Simply because we've allowed the enemy to come within the borders of the United States of America. Just look at what has just recently happened in D.C. with the U.S. flag is being burned, where the monuments are desecrated and they stand for Islam by saying Palestine and saying that the Jews must go, Palestine must survive, etc., etc. That's the enemy within. And yet nothing is being done. Listen, my opinion, Derby, if that had taken place in D.C. and the demonstrators burning the flag happened to be Christians and conservatives, we would, everyone without doubt, be locked up at this moment. But because it's the enemy that's been allowed to come in, that's out for tearing down and destroying, undermining our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and everything that we call sincere to us as Americans, they're undermining and destroying it, and yet the leadership, Department of Justice, the DHS, the FBI, none of those agencies that's designed and have the responsibility of protecting us are doing one living thing about it. In fact, even going back, it comes to mind with the attempted assassination of President Trump. I've just read an article this morning. It says left-wing domestic terrorist, they call him a left-wing domestic terrorist, now not an assassin, Trump shooter, used popular social media, appears to be pro-Biden. And it's a 3 or 4 page article talking about the website, I've never heard of it, called gab.com. And he posted 9 different articles, most of them his pro-Biden stance and his position. And he stood with Biden for having open borders and Biden stand against Trump. And you wonder why he tried to assassinate? My question is, Derby, and time won't allow on the broadcast today. My question is, when will they tell us the truth about the fact that the Secret Service and their so-called pretense of protecting President Trump was a farce? It was farcical. The attempt was not to protect Trump, but to open him for what I believe was an attempted, planned, attempted assassination on Donald J. Trump. Nobody will ever convince me otherwise. I've read probably 150, 200 articles on the subject, and I believe it was planned and just simply failed. And after it failed, then they had the coup to remove Joe Biden and put Kamala Harris in place. That's just my position. What say you?
Well, I agree with everything you say, and I'd like to make one more very controversial point remark. Let's say that you live at home and you're nice and safe, but there is a mob trying to get into your house. And you tell them, don't come in. And they keep coming and they come in. Well, the only way to stop them is using deadly force. So once we start shooting these illegals, they'll stop coming. But no, the law tells you, you cannot shoot to defend yourself. Well, then where's justice? Where's the law to protect the innocent? The law is there to protect the lawbreakers. That has been the case as the U.S. policy concerning illegal aliens and thieves and murderers. You cannot overreact because that's against the law, but the criminals can break the law and there's no problem. And if you're a politician, you can break the law and no problem. But a conservative politician breaks the law and he's punished severely, like George Santos. He lied, but he didn't commit treason. He's out of Congress. However, Ilhan Omar, etc., they committed treason and still in Congress.
Yes. One of the things we have, how would you say, turned the law upside down. The civil government was designed by God, according to the scripture in Romans chapter 13, to prosecute evil and protect good. And we find that's been reversed. It goes back to what you find in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, where, I'm going to paraphrase, where right is called wrong, wrong is called right. And that's where we are today in the present societal scenario where we plummeted. It seems like there's a race to the bottom. Seeing how we can force America to go to the bottom the quickest. So we need to vote. And the only hope that we have, one or two ways. I published a book, wrote and published a book in 2011, Is It Time for Revolution? And I said, will it be the battlefield or the ballot box? And during the course of the writing of the book, it was my prayer and still is that the revolution will take place through the ballot box and not the battlefield, because it's only one of those two tracks that we'll take as Americans. If this election fails or if it's successful, it will determine the destiny of the United States of America. And I believe God's placed it in the hands of the conservatives and the Christians in society today. So, Debbie, we need to keep praying. Thank you so much for your joining the broadcast today. I believe we have Kevin on the line. Kevin, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Hello. Thanks for having me. I appreciate your show. Dr. Davis, Dr. Youngblood, thanks for all you do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm a truth seeker. I'm an independent. I don't affiliate with any party. I'm a registered independent, but I do seek God's truth in the candidates. That's how I vote. I went to the District 1 School Board Forum yesterday after and Tony Ricardo was on the air, so I wanted to see more about what his opponent had to say. See, you know, it was in a church. I think she claims to be a Christian, but not sure. But there was some interesting comments on her Facebook campaign page that I needed to ask a question about to her. And it was about some signs being taken down, and she made a comment about someone from his campaign taking them down. And I believe it may have been a false witness. And Exodus 20:16 says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." So I wanted to give her the opportunity to speak about that, if that's indeed what she did. And if she did it, that maybe she could take that Facebook page post down and just apologize to Tony and his campaign workers. But so when I went in there, they told me to write the question down. So I wrote the question down. I was very respectful in the way I worded it. And then I gave it to the person at the desk. And I waited for an hour and a half was the whole forum. And Tony Ricardo wasn't there. He was not there due to illness. And so it was only Nadine Ebery there. And so they asked the questions. Towards the end, they were asking the questions from the people that handed in those papers. And they did not ask mine. And I want to know why they didn't ask my question. And all the other questions, they just seemed like, you know, the same old political questions and that she had, you know, all the answers to. But I don't know why she wouldn't answer that question directly. So I kind of believe, I don't want to be someone who's, I want to give her the opportunity to speak, but I think maybe that they reviewed my question and they didn't like it, but I don't want to come to that conclusion. I want someone to tell me, is that what they did? Did they think that my question was not right? I don't want to bear false witness.
Well, Kevin, I've been in a number of political venues very similar to that. Anytime you find one where they request that you put the question in writing, and then the one that's postulating the question for the candidate, they're the ones that make the arbitrary and capricious decision as to whether your question is valid, whether it should be asked or not. The only true approach to have a forum like that is so that the questioner can stand with mic in hand and ask the question for everyone to hear precisely with the right inflections that question is being given for there to be the possibility of a correct answer. But succinctly put it this way, Tony's opponent stands for just about everything that is we stand against from the standpoint of the public school system. There are books in the publication that she would like to have, which is explicit LGBTQ material. She follows in the same footsteps and the ideological bent of the former superintendent of schools, Dr. Green. And I personally asked Dr. Green to resign on this broadcast several times, that she either resign or be fired, because she was trying to circumvent the laws in the state of Florida where they were allowed. She was wanting to allow CRT to be taught, Project 1619 to be taught, and the LGBTQ agenda to be publicly available for the students in the school, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So simply put, she can put on her website if she wants to, she's a Christian. It may be Christian in name only, and the problem is we have enough of that in America today. Yes. Being a Christian is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that you adhere to the principles and the things that are shown in the Scripture to be that which honors the Lord. So we need to pray that God will intervene in this race, and with the primary coming up now for the school board race for August the 20th, Christian needs to vote, and we need to vote, sir, based on the Word of God and not based on the political party.
Could I have just one more quick thing?
Yes, sir, quickly.
The Facebook page of Ebery this morning, she said that I will show up for our community every time because they deserve to know who they're voting for. And so if she'll show up every time, is it possible that you could reach out to her and then I might be able to ask the question, or we could ask the question without being screened through, you know, through other people, that we could directly ask these questions of her? So could you reach out to her? Maybe Dr. Davis has a way to do that, or I don't know, but I'd love to ask these questions without putting it on a piece of paper.
I would give that consideration, but what I've attempted to do down through the many, 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 many years is not give airtime to one that I know stands against the biblical principles of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. That gives them airtime. That gives them the potentiality of having an extra vote or two as a result of that. And I don't mind telling anybody I'm biased. I'm going to stand for that candidate that stands for the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, nothing more, nothing less. But, Kevin, keep praying. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you, sir.
We have another caller on the line. Jose, go over to the question or comment, please.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I think it's nothing new, brother, to see all those politicians acting like the snake that they are. When it's election time, they promise, they change, they switch. Remember what Obama did? He fooled that church out in California. What was the name? Saddleback Church or whatever. No. You know, I'm not for this. I'm not for that. And then when he got the votes, guess what he did? He opened the floodgates of hell into America with the homosexual marriage. And that's the nonsense that we have. But he got the blessing in that church. Remember when they asking about that? He said, that's about my pay grade and whatever. That should ring red flags, you know what I mean? And one of the things that gets to me is, isn't that what they're saying, like 3 months or 5 months before election time? Because they got people working for them and doing polling and things like that. And those people telling what to do. Hey, don't talk about this, but put emphasis on this. Don't mention that because that's a hot topic. Talk about this. That's the way it goes. The way I look at it is the background, past year and a half, 2 years, you know, what do they believe in? What have they supported? What do they vote on? You know, what they don't show up for vote? That tells us exactly who they really are, you know what I mean? And sad to say, many people, when they mention God bless you, they say, oh my God, that's a Christian. Even mm-hmm. the devil used mm-hmm. God's name in vain, you know what I mean?
Middle-level
politician. That's why I don't buy it, you know what I mean? And we have to be extra careful, you know what I mean? And for the light of me, I don't get how many people open the churches to plan out the politicians that support killing of the babies in the mother's womb with abortion. Like nothing happened. They support homosexual marriage. Come to the altar. Come to the pulpit. Are you kidding me? That's sacred. That's holy. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And somebody like that cannot come to my church. And I think that's one of the flaws that we have as a church. You know what I mean? We need to say, wait a minute, this place is holy. And none of these liars are coming here to speak. You know what I mean? And you can say whatever you want, but go down there. You're not going to use my pulpit here to say those lies.
Jose, you're exactly right, and you touch on a very, very, very notable subject. We have multitudes across America today that will open the church doors to the leftists when they come in and want to get the vote of the congregants, and they're standing on something that is immoral, ungodly, and unholy, and that is standing on that which the Bible says is sin and wrong. We need to get our theology straight, especially as Christians, and understand what God holds us responsible for. I believe, as the scripture says, judgment begins at the household of God, and I believe we need to recognize this time especially that it determines the destiny of America. Jose, brother, thank you so much for your calling
thank
into
you very
it.
Much.
God bless you, and may we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a verse that I want to talk about in just a moment with the time that we have left today. Exodus chapter 18, verse 13 and following. I'll not go through all of it, but Moses is trying to adjudicate all the problems and all the difficulties, and God tells him that it's an impossibility for him to handle it all. As a result of that, he says in verse 21, chapter 18 of Exodus, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, rulers over fifties, and rulers over tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee, etc., etc., etc. And the scripture says, and Moses let his father-in-law depart and went with him his own way to his land. Ladies and gentlemen, the point that I make, that text, chapter 18 of Exodus, chapter 18, verses 13 through 21, or 27 to be exact, covers the details of what I call God's standard for those that are governing. Dr. Davis, I believe God sets forth how to select standards for leaders. And first of all, the leader must have good capability. Good capability. It says, able men.
Amen.
Able men, those that have capability and competence to carry out the task. And if we just look at that one area only, can we ask the question, does Joe Biden, has he proven capability or competency? Has Kamala Harris proved capability or competency to carry out? It talks about the capability, a record of leadership. Not community organizers, but qualifications, able, qualified, not just some glib promise, but qualified to carry out the task that they've been put in the office of doing, and that they're competent, having the knowledge and the wisdom to carry out the oath of office, the proven capability of doing what God has called them to do. Dr. Davis, so the question is, if we have must have men, good, those that are capable, good capability, do you view that as something that we see in Kamala Harris? And if not, what should we do as Christians? Should we vote? Should we sit at home? Take a moment to talk about that.
Well, let us make sure we keep it in line with the Word of God. Because if we go back to Genesis chapter 1, God elected the first leader when he chose Adam.
That's right.
Because he said, let him have dominion over everything here, just to cut it short. Amen? So even going back to the scripture again, I'm looking at 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 3. This is what King David had to say. He said, the God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake unto me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God.
Amen.
So that should be the first thing that we're looking for in a leader. Does he love God? Does he fear God? Mm-hmm. Does he worship God?
That's right.
Does he obey the word of God?
Yes.
Once all of these things show up, Dr. Youngblood, then we can't make any mistake. That's we'll never go wrong doing right.
Absolutely.
Amen?
And that you touched on it. That's the second thing that the scripture talks about in this 18th chapter of Exodus, verse 21. The scripture talks about this, such as fear God. That is, we must have not only good capability, but we must have those that have godly convictions. It means having a reverence for God. Fear means to reverence, to honor, to recognize. And I was so thankful when Donald Trump was saved by God's intervention from the assassination. He said it was God's grace and God's divine intervention.
Amen.
That I'm
Amen.
Here today. So there's a recognition of his fear, his awe, his reverence for God. So ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is clear. We need to have those that have the capability, the competence to carry it out, a reverence for God, a respect for God. Those are the two primary areas that we need to look at as Christians and make the vote count this election season. Keep in mind, we're about 90 days away from the determination of the destiny of America. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Amen. Be blessed. You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the radio in St. Simons Island at 91.3.